Chapter 9 of John's Gospel tells you, in its nutshell, everything you need to know about who Jesus is as a human being, what he stands for, and what he's up against. It's, in a nutshell, the heart of the gospel message for John. So when the question was posed to Jesus ages ago, it's the same question that's been asked ever since. Who sinned that this child should be marginalized and excluded from full participation in society as a sacred human being, somebody made in the image of God? Who decided that? Who said that was okay? Who said that was God's will? And Jesus' answer then is just as relevant then today. No one sinned, he said, and no one deserves to be excluded. It's not how God works. You see, under the Pharisaic codes of purity and cleanliness, a person who had a physical defect, a person who had a mental disorder, we would call it manic depression maybe today, or bipolar illness, and they maybe have called it possessed by a demon in their days, was somebody that had a sinful condition because it was not what was the norm in the society. And they believed that it threatened the integrity and the spiritual wholeness, cleanliness, of the entire community. And so the only way to protect the community against this contagion was to exclude it, to excommunicate it, to get it outside of the walls of the community. And for those who were misfortunate enough to have been born blind, disabled, or emotionally disturbed, in essence, they were condemned to be excluded from all of the rights and privileges of citizenship within their community for the rest of their life. In effect, sinners, quote unquote, were excommunicated for life, and they were forced to support themselves by begging unless they had a family that was willing to help them out. In effect, the blind man represented to the Pharisees what the black man did to the segregationists in this country, someone who was different and thus sinful outside of the larger context of what a community should be. Someone who should be excluded from full participation in the larger community because they threatened to pollute it. Someone who could be persecuted without recrimination. It's okay to pick on these folks. That's okay. Now, the Pharisees were the best, and they were the brightest theological minds of their day. To be a Pharisee meant that you are at the very top of society in terms of social acceptance and admiration and respect. Yet these experts, these scholars of God's word and law, never get it right. Not in the Gospels. They may have gotten the orthodoxy of what they had been taught correct, meaning that they could recite verbatim what the rabbi who taught them had said, the text said, but they did not know God. They had not experienced God. And they were still speaking about God as if they were experts. And this was their biggest problem. By restoring this man's sight, you see, Jesus is publicly defying and challenging their interpretation of Torah law. He's saying, I don't buy it. I'm not going to stand for it, and I'm not going to obey it. I'm going to bring down the dividing lines that exist between you and them. But as far as they're concerned, you see, Jesus is not just challenging an interpretation that they hold of Torah. Jesus is challenging God Almighty himself. The defenders of the faith are the Pharisees. They're the ones who believe that they must protect God from God's own Son. By healing the man, Jesus is engaging in a very symbolic action directed as much at that legal system of his day as it is to the individual whose sight is being restored. These are not private acts of healing meant to be hushed up and kept away. No, these are acts of civil disobedience at their highest form, meant to be proclaimed loudly. Jesus is engaging in an act here of civil disobedience once again. Over the wrath of the Pharisees, who want this radical dead at any cost, in any way that they can find a way to do it, they'll do it. Jesus continues to make it clear through every subversive healing act of his that the Sabbath was made for human beings and not we for the Sabbath. The laws, Jesus is saying, that God gave us were meant for us to benefit us, not for us to become enslaved to these laws. When Jesus heals somebody, therefore, he threatens those who see themselves as in charge Because Jesus exposes all the ways that we seek to define ourselves by excluding others and says, not of God, not of God. He exposes how wrong it is to proclaim and claim that it is from God in the first place. And he will have nothing to do with it. And so the blind man suddenly sees, it says. As Jesus then says, go now to the pool of Siloam, which is interesting because it means to be sent. And to go there and to declare yourself clean or show yourself to the priests so that they can declare that he's clean and reintegrate him back into the life of the community at large is what Jesus is doing here. At last, you see, this man saw what the disciples, what his own family, and what the Pharisees could not see. He saw that he was created by God. He saw that he was worth loving by God, that he now takes his rightful place as one who has been sent back into the larger community as an equal to those who would have marginalized him and kept him outside of that community for the rest of his life. Now, in telling this story, John has chosen the Greek word typhlos to describe the blind man's condition at the beginning of our story in chapter 9. It's a term that he will later use at the very end of this chapter to describe the condition that the Pharisees now are under. They are the ones that are blind. No longer the man that he has healed suffers with typhlos. Now the Pharisees suffer with typhlos. And typhlos means this. It's very interesting. It means that which is without access to light. That which is without access to insight. That which is without access to the truth. It's like going down a blind alleyway. And so this man that had been told by the Pharisees that he was blind, not accepted to God, had been stumbling down believing that all along in his lifetime, now can see that he's worth something, and the Pharisees have his blindness. They can't see that he's worth anything, no matter how miraculous this is. All they can see is that their way of doing Torah is being challenged by this radical. So when Jesus anoints the man's eyes with spit and mud, John tells us that the man now sees. The word is blepho. And it's a verb that John uses to indicate what the man now does see. It's not just that the blind man physically sees, which is miraculous in and of itself, but more than that. It's also that the blind man now sees with some insight into the way things really operate in society. Something that John tells us the Pharisees lack. They don't see with insight. They don't see with truth. When Jesus heals this man, Jesus is saying, regardless of how the man became blind, forget about that. Doesn't matter. This is an opportunity, disciples, family, Pharisees, to show you the power and glory of God. And they all freak out. Everybody except the guy whose sight is restored. It's a chance, you see, to bring somebody back from being excluded. And Jesus will do that time and time again with a bent-over woman in a synagogue. He'll do it with a paralytic man by the pool of Siloam. It's a chance to make somebody whole. He's going to do it. Who cares whether it happens on Saturday or Sunday? Who cares? That it happens is the issue. That God can make it happen is the issue. The good news for this man and for all of us, seriously, lies in the fact that once he sees that God has healed him, he begins to witness and to testify to the authorities from his own experience. He knows something of value, which is always more powerful than something that you read in a book, and they can't stand this. Who are you to talk to us as if you know something we don't? We're the scholars. We're the ones that have studied Torah. Whether he's the Son of God or not, I don't know. All I can tell you is I can see. They can't stand the results, right? They would rather him stay blind than that Jesus be right, which tells you why they're so wrong. This the Pharisees cannot stand. And they have not been able to stand it throughout all the ages. Pharisees come all the time. The Pharisees are any of us that stop relying on grace and start looking to law for all of the answers. Pharisaic understandings come to all of us when we stop opening our eyes to the miraculous ways that God is breaking down barriers and bringing more people to ourselves and in our midst and creating a healthy environment and hold on to the old ways. These are the ways that we are blind, right? And Jesus is saying you must let go of dogma. You must let go of law. Grace is more fundamental to life than is law. And as the head of the church, Jesus Christ, as the head of the church, he calls us to see the forces in our society, in our own lives, that dehumanize and marginalize us and others. The things that tell us that we're less than, that we're not good enough, that you don't deserve joy, that you don't deserve to be an equal in society, that you don't deserve the rights and privileges that go with citizenship for every other American. No, he says they all apply to you. No human structure, Jesus is saying, be it religious, especially be it religious, or political, or social, is sacred. They are not sacred. No law is above the law of love for God, for neighbor, or for self. No law is above the law of love. Laws and institutions, whether religious or political, are for the maintenance and order of stability and the status quo. They do not bring about or create life. They have a vested interest in seeing that things remain as they are and do not change. Jesus was crucified by the religious and political leaders of his day for disrupting the accepted practices and laws governing his society. He was a civil disturber, the way Martin Luther King Jr. was a civil disturber. He rocked our conscience because he talked truth. He was crucified for giving the disenfranchised the ability to see their worth, their dignity as human beings apart from the Pharisaic laws of purity and cleanliness. But the powers of death that wanted to suppress this radical, that wanted to hold him down and say, no, you shall not win the day, they could not stop God. Even though they nailed him to a tree, dead stopped, they could not stop God. And the resurrection is God's commentary on all temporal authorities, be they political, religious, or whatever, that says the resurrection says yes to life and no to any policy, any law, any theology that dehumanizes another human being. It is not of God. God insists that grace is more fundamental to life than law. Amen.